loss into a win. A victory was turned away from sin. You are the way, the truth.
Friends, and welcome to the freeway.
Hashtag fearless and focused.
Man, we are so busy, girl. It's been another 2 weeks, which we're that's okay. We're supposed to do this every week, but bear with us. Life is getting crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
hanging on for the ride. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I'm so glad we're carving out time right now, yeah. You know, to talk about Jesus, to look to Jesus, you know. I mean, throughout the 2 weeks that we don't catch up, we are still trying to look to Jesus. It's not like we just get... yeah. So I guess we have 2 weeks of things to share, you know.
Yeah.
Of the journey of looking towards Jesus. And yeah, it's good.
Yes.
Yeah. If you hear a lot of extra noise behind me, it's a rainy day in New York City right now. So hey. I just want to say I'm aware that there's a lot of things going on in the background. So that you're not like, does she know that it's chaos behind her?
No, oh, I'm kidding. That's New York City for you, though.
Yep, but we can't be stopped. We won't be stopped by a little rain.
So what were we talking about 2 weeks ago, Diana?
We were talking about, man, how Jesus modeled for us a new relationship with God as him being Father for us. Abba, as it says in Romans, that our spirit now cries out, Abba, Father. And we were looking in Matthew, I believe it was chapter 5, when Jesus was talking about how God the Father is our provider. That we do not have to worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. God knows that we need all these things. And what our job is to do, if we have something to do in this equation, if he's the provider, then what do we need to do to make sure that we can receive is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then he will add all these things unto us. So that's what we're talking about. I think it's so cool. That Jesus modeled that. He always cried out to the Father. Even in his darkest moments, he still cried out to him as Father. And so now, I think today, we're going to look at what it means to really trust God. Mm-hmm. And how Jesus obviously modeled that, trusting God. But also challenge his followers to trust him. And looking to Jesus, we can trust him. Yeah.
Let's do it. Could you read it?
It's Luke. Yeah, I'm going to dive in. Yep. So Luke 10, I'm going to start at verse 1.
Okay.
And read to verse 9.
Okay.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. I'm going to finish this section.
Okay.
Going on to verse 10. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than that than for that city.
Whoa.
All right.
So I'm just recognizing the two times it says the kingdom of God has come near. What do you think that means?
Well, you know, I believe it's really cool going back to verse one to kind of like explore this is when he says he sent them before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And so it was almost like these 70 were sent out to declare to these cities, the kingdom of God is coming near. And then Jesus was going to come back, come into those cities and then tell about the good news of the gospel of like, I am here. I have come. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Kingdom of God is coming to slay darkness and sin. And so like, get ready, like almost like how John the Baptist was sent before Jesus came, just get people ready and say, the kingdom is coming. Yeah. And so they're sent to say the kingdom is coming near.
I had a thought,
and the time is now.
I had a thought that he was talking about himself. I am the kingdom of God and I am here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heal the sick. If you're rejected, wipe off the dust of, you know, and then like, and he's preparing the 70s to go before him to prepare for that kingdom of God, Jesus, to come.
Yes.
Like, clean house. Get ready.
Get ready. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if
very much
since we're talking about God as Father, like I think about this, like when my parents come to visit me, like I get not super nervous, but like kind of up there nervous about like my mom looking over my house and like noticing areas that I usually wouldn't notice that are which she would see as dirty that I wouldn't usually see because I've walked past so many times, you know, like and like I'll have parents try and for my students, parents try to like text me to change lesson times. And I'll be like, no, I'm so sorry. My parents are coming in town and I'm cleaning like really hard. So no, you can't come at that time. Literally. I have totally. So many parents and they're like, oh, I get it.
yes.
But like, the Father is coming. Like, you want to be on your best behavior. You want your belongings, both spiritually and physically speaking, to be on their best behavior. You know, you want everything to be in tip-top shape because, I don't know. The kingdom of God is coming near.
Boom. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Woo.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I like this as, you know, me becoming this worship leader for the church at Lake Mead here in Vegas. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And let me tell you, like, you know, as this church that I'm working with is growing, like, you know, there's growing pains in it. Like, we don't have enough people to cover all these areas that are in need of, you know, like, you know, spreading people thin to reach all these different areas, but you know, now it's time to get more people to handle all these certain specific areas, you know, and those growing pains that are wonderful because the harvest is becoming plentiful. Now we just need some for God to send these laborers, you know, and they're deserving of their wages, you know, things like that that are, you know, speaking to me in my new position. But anyways, thinking about that and,
yeah, the thing that really stuck out to me is, Jesus, is amazing. But he can be very, like, in this passage, I go, okay, wait, I'm not sure I understand your logic here, because it says, like, in verse 3, it's like, go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. I was like, let's stop there. Like, if I were one of the disciples, I'd be like, okay, wait, hold on. I'd raise my hand and be like, okay, wait, I'm sorry. You're sending us somewhere dangerous? Why can't, you're not coming with us? Like, you're sending us ahead of you to be dangerous. I'm a lamb and there's wolves around. What do you mean? Like, okay, so you're setting this up as, okay, it's dangerous. It's not going to be easy. There's, you know, kind of setting up this scene. And then he goes on, but nobody asks, of course, because Jesus is speaking. They're like, okay, well, listen, listen to orders, you know? Yeah. And then you don't interrupt Jesus, right? And then verse 4, he says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. I'm like, okay, wait a second. That's my next question. I want to raise my hand and be like, all right, you're sending us out on this mission. I'm not supposed to take any money with me. And I'm not supposed to have any I'm not going to have supplies, like, for living. Like, what about toothbrush? I don't take anything. You know how long the journeys are, Lord, right? You know, like, days. Where am I supposed to go? Oh, you enter whatever house you enter for, say, peace to that house. If there's peace, you stay. If not, you go. I have no extra clothes. What am I supposed to be doing? I just, like, every time I read this passage, I just imagine what was going on in their heads of, like, is he crazy or can he be trusted?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make sense. And, like, sometimes following Jesus for me doesn't always make sense to me in my own logic. I'm like, okay, wait. Everybody else is saying to do this thing, but you're saying to just seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and then all these things will be added. How does that work? He's like, no, just do it. Just do it. And I love, like, later on in the chapter, verse 17, if I may read it, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So they came back, and okay, it's implied that they came back alive, right? They didn't take any money or a knapsack or extra sandals, but they still came back alive and rejoicing. Yeah. Saying, oh my gosh, we did all these amazing things. Like, demons were cast out. People were healed. People were freed. This is amazing. They were, like, probably just going into the journey going, I hope we live. I don't know who's going to let us in their house. You know, I'm going to look like a vagabond and asking, you know, peace to your house. Can I stay here? They come back and they obviously had places to stay, and they had success and victory and reason to rejoice and joy, like, more than they expected when they left. Oh my gosh. What a testimony to that. Like, Jesus can be trusted.
Yeah.
When he says to do something, you can do it and know you will come back returning with joy.
Yeah.
And that's really been speaking to me, because in the season right now, I've been experiencing a lot of disappointment, a lot of closed doors, things that I thought would be open to me that aren't, healing that I thought was going to happen that hasn't. And it's like, he's really asking me, will you trust me? You know, I don't have a lot of money to my name right now. I feel like I'm walking around with no money bag and no knapsack, you know? And I'm like, but I'm supposed to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I'm supposed to be a light to in the darkness. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm just trusting you. But this story and this, it's not a story, it happened. Jesus did send out these 70 men, you know, two by two, and they came back with joy. And that gives me so much hope and expectation that he's the same God. He's the same Jesus who did this with the 70. And he said, even though you have very little money to your name, you can return in this journey with joy. Even if the journey is just a day, if it's a couple months, if it's a year, I can return with joy. And so I just wanted to say that, like, Because I feel like I'm in that place where I'm asking the questions that maybe some of these disciples felt. Maybe there's some disciples in this group who were like, cool, this sounds awesome. Yeah. Let's test it and see. Like, oh, no money? Let's see if he's good on his word. I think he is. And I think there were some out of the 70 that were like, I'm skeptical. This sounds like a crazy plan. Is he out of his mind? Yeah. But they all came back. Like, oh, no, he's not out of his mind. He's king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mind went to, in verse 4, greet no one on the road, of him telling them, like, don't be distracted by sideline distractions. This, you keep your focus, you keep your goal. The goal is to prepare the way for me. That's why I'm sending you. And I thought that kind of came to mind of like, and how easily we are distracted. So he had to mention that. Yeah, don't greet anyone on the road.
Right.
Well, but.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
I was going to read 18, 19, and 20, if you don't mind. So it's after this verse 17 that you said, the 72 returned with joy, you know, that part. And it says in verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
That makes me so excited.
Me too.
It's like he's spelling out, this is the reason why you have this authority and this power, is because your name is written in heaven. It starts there.
You know,
the security brings authority and power.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking like he was like waving that off. He was like, it's not the power that you have here on earth. It's not the money bag. It's not the knapsack. It's not the sandals. It's not the house. It's not the food. It's not the authority. It's not what will or won't hurt you. It's that, what's the end goal here? Your place is secure in heaven. And I just think of like a football team, you know, they're like, you know, I don't know the names, but the running back, I don't know, you know, they're like, well, my position isn't important. I don't have authority from this position, but you play a part on the team because what's the literal end goal? The end game, which is to get the points from running a touchdown. So you may not think you have this authority. You may not have, you know, the right provisions, or think you have the right provisions. It's the touchdown. What's the touchdown here? What's the end game here? Mm-hmm. Securing a place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The victory. Yeah.
Yeah, the victory. And wow. So to me, he was kind of saying like, all that's just pluses, having a place to stay and eat and drink, you know, and having the authority. Those are all just pluses, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's so cool because I'm thinking about it's all the more reason to trust him because we're secure, you know? So for instance, looking at my situation right now, just feeling really like, okay, so you're in a really rocky season. That doesn't change the fact that your name is written in heaven.
Yeah.
My name's written in heaven.
Amen, Diana.
You know? I remember, Heather just sent me a meme the other day and it said, this season is like not your final destination.
Yeah.
something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But like, what is my final destination? Heaven. My name is written in heaven. So that's my final destination. And it's secure. It's being held for me. It's like my spot is being held. Like, you know, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have nothing to worry about. So, yeah. So what if I have no, you know, no money bag, no knapsack, you know? And even if I did have a money bag and a knapsack, that's not even like that awesome compared to having my name written in heaven. So any season, you know, our names are written in heaven, and that gives us peace. I don't know. And why is our name written in heaven? Because Jesus, because of what he's done, because the finished work of the cross, because the blood that redeemed us, because the reconciliation back to the Father. Like, so if Jesus is the one asking me to do something and to trust him, I'm going to trust him because he's the reason why my name is written in heaven. You know, like he has a good track record is what I keep thinking. Because there are times when I come to a place where I'm reading the word and I'm like, Lord, really, you're asking me to do that? Like, I'll be candid. I'll be like, you're really asking me to love my enemies and bring, you know, really? Jesus, why? Why are you doing that? Oh, he's like, oh, because I'm Jesus and I saved your soul and I, you know, I redeemed you and reconciled you back to the Father and wash your slate clean and continue to forgive you. And it's like, oh, right. Oh, you've earned the right to tell me what to do because you saved my soul. You know, I had a moment where I was just writing out a prayer, which sometimes is really helpful. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to do that. Just write out your prayers or pray out loud. Like really, like let it not just be this cerebral experience. But I like writing it down because when I'm having moments of doubt, I go back to those prayers and go, whoa, okay, all right. And my prayers tend to be similar to the Psalms where they kind of start out a little whiny and then they get to a place of like, oh, but God, you're so good. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. Okay. You know. So I say if you are always feeling a little bit like hesitant to write them out, go ahead and do that. You'll be surprised how quickly you'll end in praise when you see how whiny you can actually be on the page. And you go, well, thank you for tolerating me, Lord. I was doing that and I was realizing, man, I was putting a lot of my faith in money. And then I had this moment of like, whoa, what has money really done for me? And I was like, okay, did money save my soul? Did money die for me? Wow. Like just those two questions. I was like, money's never done that for me. Money's never done that for me. Money can't do that. Yeah. You know? Whoa. And it like really, I was like, no one has ever done those things for me. So why do I give them a lot of my trust and ask them to make me feel secure?
Yeah.
When they have never sacrificed themselves for me. Only Jesus has done that. And thus I'm pretty sure he deserves then my trust, my devotion. Mm-hmm. Easier, you know, obviously easier said than done, you know. But I was grateful for him giving me that moment and that revelation. Obviously that came by the Holy Spirit checking my spirit and going, wait, let's take a step back and look at the past. Haven't I been there for you? Haven't I walked you through the valley? Did money walk you through the valley? You know?
Yeah.
Who did you cry out to when you couldn't walk? Was it money? It was like, you know, and sometimes I love that God will speak to me like that and be like, let's get real. Like a father sitting a child down and going, okay, wait.
Yeah.
Let's really spell this out.
Yeah.
you know, and put your head back on straight.
Absolutely.
So that you can return from the journey going, oh my gosh, Jesus, you were right. And he's like, I know. Yeah. I always, you know, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to speak a word of encouragement to somebody out there who's been like asking a lot of other things and people to do what only God can do. Because I've been in there. These last 2 weeks I've been asking a lot of other things and other people to do what only God can do. Or the person who's asking yourself to like pull yourself up and like get over that thing, you know, like, yes, there's things that we need to do. Like, it's not just to sit back and be lazy and go like, well, God, do whatever. You know, like, there's get to the place where he can bless you, obviously. So if you're not in your word, if you're not reading his word, if you're not actively taking leads on trying to get a job, that was me. I was like, I need a job, but I'm not doing anything. People are telling, you know, like, it wasn't until a friend was like, hey, I can refer you to this person, but you have to call. I had to pick up the phone. Okay, so those are things to do. But don't ask that to give you that security and give you the hope for the future that only God can give you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Always look to the source. You know, Satan wants us to distract us with things on the roadside that are not the source. And we're, unfortunately, I'm just going to straight up say it, we're stupid enough to go to anything but the source until we're at the need of the source. You know, our country's in upheaval, politically speaking and physically speaking. And all of a sudden we cry out for prayer. Like, I'm sorry, you kicked that out of school. I'm sorry, you kicked that out of the court system. But now that, you know, things are being upheaval, destroyed, you want to pray? Like, that's stupid, you know? And I'm sorry, you know, to always bring stuff like that in, but it's like, I mean, how stupid can you be, you know? And you're going to everything but the source, but wanting the source and you don't even know it. You know, it's like, keep the focus.
Right.
What were you going to share?
Oh, I was going to say, that's so on point to say that's just stupid. Like, you're calling it what it is. I mean, all through Proverbs, it talks about the fool and what foolishness is. And like, if this is what I've gleaned, and, you know, anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, but anything that's foolish or the fool is somebody who forgets God. And does not let him be in his rightful place.
Yeah.
Because the wise know that, I mean, we've talked about this in our podcast, but the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, is the fear of the Lord.
Yep.
Or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sorry.
No, you got it. It's all right. Either way.
Oh, I did? Okay. So it's like, so if you're not thinking about what asking God, what, you know, what do I need to be doing in this situation? If I'm not going to him first, I can't expect to be wise.
Yeah.
If I go to something else first, I'm already leaning towards foolishness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Already from the jump, you know, like I'm not even consulting God on this. You can expect foolishness then. And I wanted to share something from Proverbs 3, which I've been like meditating on and trying to memorize because I'm like, whoa, I need to write all this on the tablet of my heart because I need to remember to trust God with my whole heart and not lean on my own understanding. But in verse 35, this got me because I forgot this was in this chapter. It says, the wise shall inherit glory, which is cool. That's a cool promise, like to inherit glory, which is to see the divine wonder of God happening in your life, right? That's what wisdom will do. I love that. But then the next part says, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. I'm like, yeah, I've made some really bizarre decisions in the past that I'm ashamed of quite little. And I'll be honest, that I'm ashamed of because I did not think about God first, that I did not consult God first, that I was like, oh, but because they told me that that was a good idea and I'm trusting, fearing man and trusting what they're saying. Of course, I'm going to have shame. It already says that in his word, that shame will be the legacy of a foolish person. So it can be guaranteed. It's like really good measuring stick of like, why am I feeling ashamed of those decisions I made? Oh, did I consult God in those decisions at all? Oh, okay, now it makes sense. No wonder, because I was being foolish. And I think it's okay for us to be honest with ourselves about that.
Yeah.
So that we then make wise decisions, meaning we trust God, we fear God, we ask him, well, what do you say on this matter?
Yeah.
Before making any move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I, you know, kind of going to bring it back into the Father before we close, but, you know, even now in my 30s, when I have a big decision to make, I call my Father. I call my Father. Yeah. And, you know, why not go to the Father of Fathers for big and small things? Yeah. It all matters. If it matters to you, it matters to him. Anyways, we got to close this out. We could go on forever.
Yep.
All right. Well, you be blessed, my friends. Thanks for joining us at the Freeway.
# fearless and focused.
I could turn a loss into a win. A victory was turned away from sin.